Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Church by the Glades podcast. If you would like more information about Church by the Glades, including service times and directions, visit cbglades.com. We hope you enjoy today's message.
What is up, Church by the Glades? Wow. Hey, give it up for our musicians. I mean, come on. Some churches, I'm not being judgmental or critical, but you know, it's kind of a sleepy experience, kind of a dull experience. Not here. If somebody near you is sleeping, check a pulse. Check a pulse. They probably had a stroke. You probably lost them. Hey, welcome to Church by the Glades. The best songs are about relationships, because relationships are the best part of life, the most intriguing part of life, and sometimes the most complicated part of life. So we're in a relationship series right now. The Bible is the ultimate relationship manual. I'm so glad you're here. Whether you're watching online, give it up for our online campus. Glad you guys are watching all around the world. Hey, invite somebody right now. Very important conversation. I want to pick up where I left off last week and talk about family relationships. Family relationships. Now, single people, stay plugged in. Don't log off. We've got something very special for you in just a couple moments. But I talked about last week using something Jesus, a teaching technique that he loved called a parable. Parable is a creative illustration about things that are recognizable and relevant that people connect with. Like, he'd talk about things his culture would connect with, like farmers and fields, kings and their kingdoms, fishermen and fish, family room. I want to talk to you about a family room, because, like, if you're like me, we have a living room, but we seldom live in the living room. We have a dining room, but we almost never dine in the dining room. But we do family in the family room. Who's anybody else the same way? You do family in the family room. That's where you kind of hang out with the people you love. Like, six people have a family room here at the church. Who hangs out in the family room? Come on, 11:30. You guys have slept in. All right. So I have these people I do life with, so I'm using the family room as a metaphor, a parable, to talk about some relationship principles the Bible teaches. So how about this? Furniture. I hope you have some furniture in your family room. You have probably couches and chairs. We have some as well. Why? Because in my family room, we have a place for everyone. I want everyone in my family to feel valued, to feel esteemed, to feel safe, to feel like they matter. So you may not know my family. Here's my family right here. I do life with four wonderful people. My daughter, Victoria, she's a sophomore at FSU. And Zane just turned 12. He loves basketball and he loves the church. Some of y'all know Charlie. Charlie's my young preacher, very passionate for the things of God. And then Lisa is my very best friend for over 20 years. And I have married way over my head. By the way, single guys, I have a theory that young men who love the Lord tend to marry way over their heads. And all the Christian men who are married should loudly say, that was pathetic, guys. I just set you up like that, you just fumble the ball. Anyways, here we go. So I married my wife. So these people are the people that do life in my family room, and everyone has a spot, everyone has a place. Now, the most comfortable spot is for me and Mom. Lisa and I have the best place. Why? I want everyone, including my kids, to feel comfortable, but someday I want them to get uncomfortable enough that they leave. Yeah. Right? Parents, we raise them and release them. So if we do our job right, they feel valued, they feel honored, they feel safe, they feel protected, they feel championed, and someday they leave. Yeah. If things go tough, sideways in their life, they're allowed to come home, circle back home, heal up, and then leave again. I hope when they have children someday, they come back and visit, stay 3-4 days, then leave. So we honor everybody. The spouse, she stays until death do us part. The children, parents, they do what? They leave. They do what? They leave. They leave. The kids, they leave. How about this? A TV. I hope you have a flat screen somewhere in your family room. Now, maybe you're really spiritual and you just read the Bible all the time. Not me, man. We have a TV. I bought the biggest, most obnoxious TV I could afford without going in debt for my TV. And a TV is a lot of fun. We're a TV family. But the remote control can be a selfish piece of technology. See, when it comes to TV, I have my shows. I have my preferences, my taste. And I like, you know, SportsCenter. Love College Game Day. Like a good saltwater fishing show. History Channel sometime. But my lovely wife, Lisa, again, married over 2 decades. You know, biblical one flesh relationship. She likes other shows. We're probably a strange couple. Probably every other couple here, you like all the same shows. But Lisa and I, we like very different shows. She likes Real Housewives. She likes The Bachelor. She likes Dateline. She likes, you know, Dateline. Y'all know those real-life murder shows? By the way, if I ever disappear, remember, She watched a lot of Dateline, y'all. I hope she's not doing research, just entertainment. So because it's the TV that, you know, I paid for on the wall of my family, I could be selfish and say, we're watching my shows. I'm the dad. I'm the biblical leader. And I'd watch TV by myself. So what I've learned to do is to compromise, to share, to find common ground. I mentioned last week, guys, don't judge me. I can't do, you know, Real Housewives, but she likes HGTV. I watch HGTV now. You know, I've learned to like it. I don't sit there with a bad attitude. I try to engage in that, find compromise. Maybe the best verse on relationships in the Bible does not mention the word relationships. It's Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. We've mentioned this verse every week but one during this series. This is so good. All you need are the first four words. You plug the first four words in your relationships, it would revolutionize every valued interpersonal relationship in your life. Look what it says. Read the fourth word loudly. It says, do nothing from... Bless you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's the secret. Do nothing from selfishness. Now, I know that's God's inspired, authoritative word, but guess what? I get stuck right there. Because I can be so selfish. I think about myself, my preferences, my tastes. I can be very self-centered. I'm talking to you, and I'm thinking about what I want to say next. Selfishness. But if I can crucify that, it is a relationship game changer. Let me give you one for this week. That was last week. I hope you were here last week. If you missed last week, you missed a really fun weekend at Church by the Glades. But how about this one? I wrote this down in my notes. Your family room, I hope, has a thermostat. I know people are watching all across the country. We've had weird weather in parts of the U.S. the last few weeks. But here in Florida, it's already in the 80s. It's warm. And praise Jesus for the invention of the air conditioner. Right? Because it makes summer possible down here. And you have, you know, the air conditioning, and you have a thermostat. Now, notice I did not say a thermometer. A thermometer is a useful but very simple technology. All a thermometer does, by contrast, is it reads and appraises a temperature. It just tells you what the temperature of an environment is. A thermostat is more complex. Why? It reads the temperature and has the power to adjust the temperature. It is catalytic to affect change. Now, stay with me. We're talking about the family room and your family. Ever notice when you walk into your family room and your family's there, there's an emotional temperature to the room? Maybe people are happy, you know, someone got a promotion, aced their exam, people are up, or maybe they're frustrated, they're grumpy. There's an emotional temperature in the room. Now, when you step in that room, here's a question. Are you a thermometer or are you a thermostat? Do you just come in and let their emotions control and dictate how you feel? Do you just reflect that's a thermometer? Or are you someone bringing about a change for the positive in the emotional environment you've stepped into? So your family room is a very difficult, challenging ecosystem to navigate. But God has given us the power to change. A lot of us just step into that family room. And again, if it's tense or frustrated, we just respond in kind. Christian, we should be better than that. A lot of us have surrendered the title deed of our emotion to other people. And we just respond and react. But the Bible says you've been empowered to do more. So here, let me give you a little theology right here. Find the book of Galatians in your Bible. Find Galatians chapter 5. It describes this incredible dynamic. You see, God the Father, the Bible teaches, made you. And then if you've been saved, you were saved 15 years ago, or you want to be saved in 15 minutes, we can hook you up. When you say yes to Jesus Christ by faith, God the Son forgives you and redeems you and qualifies you for heaven. And one of the other benefits is, God the Son not only does that, he fills you with God the Spirit. The Holy Spirit invades your life. And when the Spirit invades your life, he brings these byproducts the Bible calls fruit. And in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it lists these byproducts, the spiritual fruit, the Holy Spirit, capital S, brings into the Christian's life. Look at this amazing list on the screen right now. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. What a great list. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, get ready, gentleness, and self. See, if I'm a thermometer, and I'm feeling kind of good, and I step into my family room, and they're all tense and frustrated, and I just find myself emotionally, you know, devolving into that, I'm not exercising self-control, I'm being others-controlled. And the Bible says, guess what? I have the strength to change that emotional temperature. Now, do you battle with this? I battle with this. I mentioned, gosh, I fell into this yesterday. I tend to be pretty good at controlling my emotions, but some of my family is kind of grumpy. I won't mention any names. Lisa Hughes, she was kind of grumpy in my opinion, my appraisal. And I just found myself getting a little grumpy with her, right? Like, so I was being a thermometer. Ever fall into that? Yeah. Oh, I got like six honest people in the room. Let's do a little self-diagnostic right now. Your language will indicate whether you're a thermometer or a thermostat. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So do you say things like this? Do you say things like, she made me angry. He made me so frustrated. My 12-year-old, she's making me crazy. Stop that. Stop that. Your 12-year-old's making you crazy? Be biblical in your worldview. Be biblical in the way you appraise your life and your role. Okay, she made you. The Bible says God made you. And by the way, you're a full-grown man. God made you. When Jesus saved you, he remade you. Right? So they didn't make you. You made a choice. God gave you the gift of the spirit of self-control. He put me in a bad mood. She put me in a negative mood. They put you? Are you kidding me? They put you? What are you, a lobster? You're like living in a reef, you know, and some diver came and got you and put you in a net. Then they put you in the boat. Then they put you in the Yeti cooler. They took you home and put you in the fridge. Then they put you in a boiling pot. Then they put you on a plate and served you the baked potato. What? You're a lobster? No. When God saved you, he put the Holy Spirit inside of you, who provides you with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. You're really getting your stuff. I need to get out of this marriage because she's not making me happy. Your happiness is not on anyone else's job description. My mood, self-control, my mood is my job. My mood is my job. You're making yourself a relational and emotional victim. I just step in that room and reflect whatever emotional temperature is taking place. No, you're a thermostat. By the way, it's a very old illustration. This has been around for decades, but it's so true. By the way, the one place I could update this is this. You know, guys, here's a relationship tip. No extra charge for this one. Do not buy your wife an appliance on her birthday. Right, ladies? That's don't buy her a washer and dryer. Don't buy her a vacuum. Merry Christmas. Don't do that. That's not a good move. And almost as risky as buying her technology. All right, so this sounds like a loser move, but like 5 or 6 years ago, I actually bought her a thermostat for Christmas. I bought her a thermostat. I know it sounds like a stupid idea, but she asked for this thermostat, and it was a very high-tech, very sophisticated thermostat. In fact, this thermostat didn't just like, you know, appraise the temperature and read the temperature, and then it had the ability to change the temperature. After a couple days, it could anticipate. By the way, we've been sitting there for a few days. It can even pick up on proximity of a person in the room. It can anticipate the temperature we wanted. Incredible. Incredible. It could read the rhythm of the room. You see, we're using music as a metaphor as well. And music is what? Melody and rhythm. Ever notice every family or even every relationship in that family, every person has a rhythm? Yeah, okay. So explain it this way. So my rhythm, I'm a pretty steady person. My rhythm would be like, now, Lisa, her rhythm, she's passionate, she's fun, she's relational, she's the life of the party. So because our rhythms, and one rhythm is not right and one's not wrong, it's just different. Right. Even after 20-plus years of marriage, a one-flesh relationship, so we have to learn to understand each other's rhythm. Because it's just different. So she deals with frustration different than I do. She deals with stress. I'm much more even, she's much more up and down. One's not better, one's not worse. We're just different rhythm. The way we structure our day. Do I have any morning people in the house? Got some morning people in the house. All right. I'm not sure I'm a full-fledged morning person, but I'm one of the closest things we have in my family to it. Meaning this, once the alarm goes off and I have a cup of coffee, I'm good. I'm happy. I'm pleasant. I love to have a conversation. Hey, let's break down what we're doing today. Let's hammer out the plan right now. That's the way I like mornings. Lisa, on the other hand, Lisa, honey, you're convinced the devil invented mornings in Genesis chapter 3. She likes to sleep in when she can. She has to wake up early. Her routine is, and I'm not exaggerating, she likes to go to the couch, gets her cup of coffee, kind of curls up in a corner, makes herself small, pulls the Afghan up to her nose, then hides behind the coffee. Hey, baby, how you doing? Fine. Good. I mean, simple, quiet answers. Listen, I used to be bothered by that. She's not being rude. Just morning's not her rhythm. She's a nighttime person. Do we got any nighttime people in the room? Any nighttime? In the chat, if you're nighttime, let me know in the chat if you're a nighttime person. All right, so she flourishes at night. So like 9 o'clock, she likes to start projects. 9 o'clock p.m. And she's like, hey, let's go clean out the closet. Let's organize the garage. That is not my rhythm. My rhythm at 9 o'clock, I'm probably sitting on the couch next to Zane watching Mandalorian. That's what we do. So again, one is not right. One is not wrong. You have to read the other person's rhythm. Anticipate. Know how to respond to it. Like, oh, last week. If you missed last week, God bless you. If you missed last week, take your right hand, ball it up, and punch yourself in the face as hard as you can. Last week was so fun because here in the family room, we had Lauren and Ryan Tannehill with us. And they were so good. And he's, you know, this amazing NFL quarterback playing at the top of his game, literally. And she's this awesome, beautiful former model. And they have a great marriage. And they parent two preschoolers. And they said so much that was so good. But they talked about how intentional they must be about communication. One reason is their rhythm. During the season, he works really long hours. He's at the facility at 7 a.m. He doesn't get home to 7 p.m. sometimes. And she's home with preschoolers. She is a stay-at-home mom. Now, so she's dying when he gets home to talk to a grown-up. He's kind of talked out. In fact, studies show that men and women are different on our abilities with language. In fact, I found one study by the BBC said that your average man speaks 7,000 words a day. Your average woman, 20,000 words a day. Now, you might be different as a couple. You might be a woman and be very quiet, but that's on average right there. So, now here's Ryan. He's working all these hours. He's not just throwing the football. He's in breaking down film with the coaches, lots of conversations. So if he has 7,000 words, he's spoken 6,000 words at work. He has 1,000 words left. She's been with a 4-year-old and 2-year-old all day. All she said is no, stop it, and potty. Like, so she has 19,000 words left in her word bank. See, that's not a marriage problem. That's a math problem. Different rhythms. So you got to figure out how to compromise, right? How to solve change. So again, I want to be not a victim of the emotional temperature. I want to set the emotional temperature in my family room. Thermostat. How about this? We got couch, chairs, TV, remote, thermostat, doorbell. I love a doorbell. Well, I love when a guest comes by. Oh, there's the doorbell right there. It means some like fun person's coming to our house, going to sit down on our couch. So we have a remarkable young woman from Alabama with us today. You might have seen her on a television show here this last year or so, but I'm going to ask my wife, Lisa, and would you please stand to your feet and welcome Maddie Pruitt to the stage. Come on, Maddie.
Thank you.
Come on, a little better than that, guys. There you go. Maddie.
What's up, guys?
Welcome to Church by the Glades.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I just want to say thank you to these amazing two individuals that are sitting up here with me. I mean, you guys are so awesome. You have such an amazing church. You guys are full of life out there. I'm like, it's morning time.
They seem
like some morning people. I'm like, they're ready to go. But seriously, you guys are so awesome, and you've raised such an incredible family. I mean,
man,
Charlie did rally night with me, and Charlie did rally night together,
rally,
and we had
well.
So much fun. So, yeah.
They wouldn't let me in. I'm over the age threshold, but I watched online. It seemed like it was great. You were phenomenal.
Rally was so good, I'm a little intimidated. Because they had a good interview.
They had a great interview with her. And listen, so big theological question. Are you a morning person or night person?
I'm a night person. I'm with Lisa on this
one. All right, night people. She's one of you. Okay, so how about this? Let's start the conversation this way. A lot of you guys know exactly who she is, but pretend I'm someone who doesn't have a TV, and I'm not on social media. Tell me about Maddie Pruitt.
So I'm 24 years old. I graduated from Auburn, and I got a degree in communications. I also went through our church's seminary and leadership program and got a certificate of ministry in pastoral leadership. And I always, you know, wanted to do something that was going to make a difference. I grew up in an amazing faith-filled home. My parents are amazing and just raised my sisters and I, just showing us the importance of having a relationship with Jesus from a young age, but also raising us in the local church. Like, we were always in the church.
Come on.
All of my time at the church or at youth camps. Or in the basketball gym. My dad was my coach, so I spent a lot of time hooping, and I was, you know, a little tiny little thing running the camps for my dad. It was a great time.
Yeah, because you're quite the basketball player.
I did.
But you're
play.
Not tall. You're not 6'10". You
know, I
you're,
know.
You're, I'm pretty pocket small. Size.
Yeah, us point guard. So you don't have to be too tall, you know, as point guard. But we were pretty good. We won 4 out of 5 state championships. So, I mean.
Nice.
Whatever. It's whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, so I grew up and I played sports. That was a big part of my life. And so I had a good relationship with Jesus from a young age. And I would say when I got into high school, you know, I got into sports. And that was a big part of my life. And I started really attaching my identity to that. I started attaching my identity to this performance-based mindset. I not only carried that into sports, but I started carrying that into everything, right? Like I wanted to win other people's approval. I wanted to perform to be accepted and loved. I wanted to be appreciated by people. And so I really lost myself kind of in those years and saw my relationship with Jesus more from a legalistic point of view. And I would say coming into college was really when I sat down with myself and I said, Maddie, I know who God says you are, and I know what your parents have said you are, but who am I and who do I believe that I am and who do I want to be? And I asked myself those questions. And just one night in my college dorm room, you know, I remember I felt so alone. All my friends were, you know, out making some other choices, and I knew that wasn't really what I wanted for my life. And so I sat there and I felt broken, empty, confused. And I was like, Lord, I just want to go all in with you. I want you and only you, and you're more than enough for me. And so that was really a big decision for me that day, random day in college, nothing crazy happened, just made a decision that day, and that really changed the course of my life forever, and really started filtering everything through my relationship with Jesus. I started, you know, attending church, serving at the church, leading at the church, started leading the college ministry.
Brilliant, by the way. You didn't just show up on the weekends. You dove in. You immersed
yourself
all
in
the church.
I dove all in. I found my community at the church, my people at the church. And graduated from college and didn't really know exactly what I wanted to do. Started working in the foster care system and worked as a foster parent recruiter. And that was a tough job. You know, you see a lot of really hard things. I knew it was a temporary job. I knew it wasn't right. Going to be my forever calling, but I knew it was where God had me then. And came out of that job not really knowing, you know, what was next. And one day I get a call from The Bachelor, and I'm like, hello? I thought they had the wrong number.
You didn't apply.
No, I didn't apply. So I'm like, they found the wrong Madison. They got something mixed up.
So you didn't audition. You didn't reach out to them. They found you.
They found me, and when they reached out and, you know, they were interested in me coming on the show, I'm going to be honest. You know, at first, like, I'm like, hey, I just graduated from seminary school. I think you found the wrong girl. I don't think this is, I mean, I didn't watch reality TV. That wasn't really a part of my, you know, daily routine. And so it didn't really fit the box that I had put God in. Like, I was like, that doesn't make sense. Like, no. And at first I was totally turned off to the idea and really didn't even consider it. And so, but I kept praying about it and praying about it. And it was like, I couldn't escape it. I couldn't run from it. And I really felt led to do it. And so I said, yes, I went on the show. It was a crazy experience. For sure. But coming off now, looking back, it's so crazy as I see, you know, where I am now and how God has used it and just how one act of obedience, like what can be on the other side of that? Blessing, opportunities, relationships, so much from a single act of obedience. And how God can use the most unlikely of people, the most unlikely of situations, and use it for His glory.
So
and
good.
So it really is just a cool, I expect none of your stories probably look like that, but it's true for all of us, no matter what your situations are, no matter what you've been through and walked through, God can use you in big ways,
That's
bigger
right.
than you could have ever imagined.
That's right.
So good.
Well, we're obviously in a series about relationships. So as a Christian single, how do you find the balance between meeting people, being accessible, while still maintaining your standards?
I think you can have both. I think you can have both of those things. I think a lot of times we think we have to like sit in a room and just read our Bibles and that's it. And I would just challenge you, like, put yourself in an environment to set yourself up for success, to find those godly individuals and those godly relationships that are going to push you to be the best that you can be. And, you know, obviously, like, know who you are, know your worth, and don't attach that to other people, but also put yourself in environments that you're going to be able to find those people that you're going to be able to do life with.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like,
Listen,
you know,
it's vital. It's vital. If you're there,
right.
I want to find my spouse. I want to find this godly spouse. Probably not going to meet him at the club. Maybe, but, you know.
Exactly. And no judgment, but you know what I mean? Like, if you're looking for a spirit-filled person, like, make sure you're going to the right environments. The right environments are going to attract the right people. The wrong environments are going to attract the wrong
right.
people. And I've had so many people
Maddie,
ask me.
If I was a Christian single, I'd
be
volunteer
at, the church.
At Church by the Glades all four
all
services.
All the time, every service.
I'd be in the hospitality ministry.
Yep.
I'd brush my teeth. hair product, yep. Right? Be not smile. Do it for God. Do it for God.
Right.
Right. But the Bible says to watch and pray. So while you're praying, singles, keep your
eyes open.
Right environment.
Eyes open. But so many people come up to me and they ask me, they're like, I can't find the right relationships, right? Like I'm struggling with community or I'm struggling finding the one, right? And so many people say that. And I'm like, well, if you don't like what you've been getting, maybe you need to take a look at what you've been giving and also where you've been going.
Wow.
Where have you been looking for those relationships? What have you been putting out? Because a lot of times who you are is what you're going to attract. So if you're filled with the Spirit, if you're going to the right environments and the right places and putting yourself and submerging yourself in God's word, then that's what you're going to attract. And you're going to open yourself up for opportunities to attract those kind of people.
Okay, so as you go out in these environments, what are like maybe the top three qualities you're looking for?
Good question.
That's a great question. And first of all, I'd like to say too, you know, I'm in a season of singleness. I'm sitting here as a single girl. I don't have it all figured out. But what I can say is if you're in a season of singleness, like you're not walking around just as a half person waiting for someone to come in and
that's
complete
right.
you.
Come on. That's right.
You are
yes.
fully whole
yeah.
in
yes.
Jesus. And I just want to say that because I think a lot of times, especially, I mean, even in church, like we can feel that pressure of I have to find my person. Like you are already made one with Christ and he is enough. He is more than enough. And I just want to encourage you with that because singleness is not a season to be rushed. It's not a season to overlook. It's a gift. It's a beautiful season. And really it sets you up for the rest of your seasons. And so how you steward this season is really, really important. And I'm very logical. I'm very practical. And so I have like points. I see things like from a very practical standpoint. So when you ask me that question, I'm like already going through. I'm like, okay, I have my three C's and I have my three P's. Hang with me. It sounds like a lot. I know it sounds like a lot. It sounds like some homework or something. But no, I have my three C's and my three C's. These are the things that I'm kind of going through in my mind, right? Like if I'm going on a first date or we go on a second date or I'm just talking to this person, like these are the three things that are going through my mind, the three C's. So the first one is convictions. What are his convictions? That's what I'm asking myself. What are his convictions? Not his parents' convictions, not his pastor's convictions. Right. What are his convictions? What is his relationship with Jesus like? Does he just show up to church on Sunday and that's the extent of it? Or does he have a true, real, rooted relationship with Jesus? Is he diving into God's word? Is he surrounding himself with the right people? So what are his convictions? And then the second thing I would say is, what is his character like? Does he have a good character? Does he have strong integrity? Is he a man of his word? Right. Is he trying to go after mentorship, people to call him out, people to hold him accountable, right? And so, okay, convictions, character, and then the third one, chemistry. I would say I want to be attracted to that person, right? I want us to be attracted to each other. That's not everything, but, you know, it's on the list.
It's not one, two, you need all these things.
All of them.
All these things, right?
All of them.
But it's just one and two. It's like, then he's a friend. Good friend.
Good friend.
No chemistry.
Good friend with a good personality. Am I right? Like yeah, it's just not the one. And so I go through those three things before I even start dating someone. And if those things are crossed off, then I have this thing that I call the three P's. And these are the things that I'm going through in my mind as I'm dating someone before I would ever consider taking the next step into marriage. So obviously I have not found someone who have crossed off the three C's and three P's. But the three P's, the first one is patterns. What are his patterns? We're always consistently doing something. So what is he consistently doing every day? Is he getting better every day?
Wow.
Right? Like is he pursuing
so
excellence? You know, and taking a look at his patterns and seeing if he's growing, if he's producing fruit. Two, I would say purpose. I would say in God's word, actually, it says where there is no vision, the people perish. Right? We need vision. I need to know. I need clarity. I need vision. I need to know where I'm going. This is where we're at. But where do we plan to go? Right? And I think so many people just, they fall in love. Like, I just fell in love and like everything else is going to take care of itself. No, no, you need to lay it out. You know, you need to lay it out. Like, this is where because here's the thing, you know, I see it this way in just a practical way that we can all understand. You have two hungry people. Well, just because they're both hungry doesn't mean they both want the same food or the same restaurant, right?
Right.
It's the same thing in relationships. Just because you both want marriage doesn't mean you both want to do it the same way. Doesn't mean you both have the same expectations and what you expect from each other and in a spouse and in a life. You know, is the vision that we want to go after what God's called us to do. We want to raise kids in God's word in the local church. We want to, you know, you need to lay that out and make sure you're on the same page and that your vision aligns. So patterns, purpose, and then the last one is peace. I do not make any decisions in my life if I do not have God's peace. Like that is everything to me. And I don't come from a place a fear. I don't come from a place of potential. I come from a place of, no, God gave me a peace about this. And I think the world preaches a lot about potential. Mm-hmm. I think the world preaches a lot about passion. You know, if you're just so passionate about that person, that's all you need. If there's potential there, like, they'll get there one day. No. Like, what if they never do? Right. What if nothing ever changes and that's the exact person that you're going to be married to for decades? Like, is that good? Do you trust them in raising kids? Like, do you trust them? Do they represent not only Jesus, but are they a good reflection of your heart? And those are questions that you should really ask yourself, because oftentimes, you know, I know at least for me, I'll just like keep it on me for a second. I'll just be real with you guys. Oftentimes I'm in a relationship and I'm like, have all these questions. There's like some red flags, but I'm like, God, just give me peace about it, right? Like, just give me some peace. Like, it's fine. Like, just make it apparent to me. And he's like, I am. Like, you don't have peace. Like, you have uneasiness, you have questions, you have concerns, you have red flags. Like, run with that, trust that. So those are the things I would go through, the three C's and the three P's.
I love it.
So when we first reached out to you months ago, you asked for an interview. After doing that, she didn't even need us. She has such great content. You're ready to preach. Such great things on relationships. You said something at rally. I wasn't allowed to come. I'm too old, but I watched online. You talked about the idea of how you view rejection, because we all go through rejection sometimes in relationships. We go through rejection. So show us how you frame rejection.
Yeah, and for those of you who are out here who have experienced some form of rejection, I just want to say I'm sorry, because rejection is hard and it's painful.
Stinks.
And it stings and it cuts deep. And oftentimes if we don't deal with it, it deals with us and it goes into every single relationship. We carry it from one person to the other. And I just want to challenge you and encourage you with that God doesn't reject you. God says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.
Right.
He calls you chosen. He calls you loved. He says you're more than enough. And with him, you have belonging. You already are accepted.
And so good, Maddie.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times we come into relationships and we come into environments from a place of lack. We're hoping that people can fill. Mm. We're hoping that people can fill us and make us feel wanted and make us feel accepted and make us feel loved. But that's not what God has called us to do. God has called us to come from a place of, I already know who I am. I already belong. I already am worthy. I already am enough. And from that place, like, that person's just supposed to compliment you, and the love you've received from Jesus just overflows into them. Mm. And so I challenge you with that. But also, you know, when I've been through seasons of rejection, when it hurts, you know, when someone walks out of the room, when someone cheats on you, when someone, you know, starts talking about you, starts rumors about you, you don't get the job, you don't get the sorority, you don't get the whatever, you don't make an A on the test, whatever it is, whatever season of life you're in, you know, we've all faced rejection of some sort. And one thing that the Lord really spoke to me when I was in a season of really feeling rejected is that rejection that you're feeling right now is going to lead to a greater redirection for later. And I need you to trust me. I need you to trust me that I work all things together for your good, that I got this. I'm God. And as big as your problems may seem, I'm even bigger, and I got it all under control. And so I just encourage you, like, the rejection you feel right now, just trust God has greater plans. God has plans to prosper you. God has plans that are going to blow your mind. So just trust him in that. Yeah.
So your rejection is God's redirection. That is so rich. That is so rich. Okay, so check the clock there. Super, super fast on this one. Give me your Wikipedia short answer. Yeah. You know, you have all these fans. People watch you handle, you know, romance and dating in a very public setting. You did it with great integrity, beautifully. You were not weird, a weird Christian. But people can be negative, and people can be critical. So how do you handle, like, negativity, especially on social media?
Yeah, and here's what I'll say about that first is a lot of times when we are going after what God has called us to do, there will come some opposition. There will come some attacks.
Oh, every
there will
time.
Come some negativity.
Every time.
Most of the time, like, that will come with it. And I think a lot of times we can think, oh, like, that must mean I'm not, like, pursuing God, or I'm not in the right, I'm not where God has me. Like, no, like, all throughout Scripture, God lays out, you know, even with Jesus, even with Joseph, even with Esther, even with David, all those people had opposition. All of those people had negativity.
Right.
All those people had, you know, people trying to stop them from reaching their destiny and from reaching their potential. And so I just encourage you, if you faced negativity, whether that is with your family, with your relationships, in a relationship you've been in, I just want to encourage you, like, that doesn't mean that you're not enough. That doesn't mean that you're not going to get there, that you're not where God has you. That oftentimes means you're you're exactly where God has
That's
you.
Right.
And you just got to stay focused.
Preach.
Don't let them. Yeah, because I think we can oftentimes hang on to those things. We can hang on to people's words. We can hang on to the negativity that comes at us, and we can latch to that. But that's not who you are. And that person, like, don't give them the ability to accept you or reject you or define
yes.
you or label you. Like, the creator of the universe says that you're more than enough, and so you just are.
Yes.
You just are, period.
So good.
And for me, when I've had moments like that were really hard, I mean, when I was, you know, I would be laying in bed and I would feel so discouraged, I wouldn't even want to get out of bed because I'm like, all these people would think all of these things, and I felt so misunderstood and so judged. I would just have to remind myself, like, Why am I letting them? I mean, it's kind of what you're talking about earlier. Like, even with set, you know, your mood is your job. Like, why am I going to let them determine how my day is going to go, or
right.
how I'm going to view myself, or what I'm going to do with my life? Like, no, I refuse. I have too much on my life to give in to pettiness, to give in to the labels of other people. Like, I just refuse to do that. And I'm a very defensive person. Like, I was ready to, like, you know, fight somebody a few times and lash back. But I was like, you know what? I heard this quote one time. Someone said, if God has called you to it, he'll sustain you through it. He'll get you through it. And
wow.
I've just clung to that. I'm like, if God has called me to this place in my life, I know he's going to carry me through it. And he's going to give me absolutely everything I need every step of the way. He is my sustainer. He is my provider. He is my victory. He is my protector. He is my defender. That's just who he
wow.
is.
Wow.
And I get to rest in confidence in that, you know? And so I would say that's really what I'm constantly leaning on. And in a practical sense, you know, if it is coming from social media, I'm going to limit my time on social media. You know, I'm going to distance myself. I'm going to get off. I'm going to know when I'm weak and susceptible to falling
Which
into.
You've been intentional about that too. Some seasons you really just backed off social media
yeah.
a lot. Just
yeah.
To
I have a little timer on my phone. It'll kick me off my social media. If I'm on there too long, it's like, hey, Maddie, you've been on there a little too long. I'm like, okay, you're probably right. And so, yeah, you know, put in some practical steps so that, you know, before the moments ever even come, you're prepared. And you're ready on how to handle those. Yeah.
I love
Gosh,
that.
Gosh, it's a good thing. So listen, she's been great every service. And if you get a chance, watch the rally archive. Great interview as well. I've asked you different questions. I've asked you, you know, who's your greatest encourager? We talked about basketball. Let me ask you something I've not asked you before. What's the best advice someone's ever given you?
I love that question. And I'm going to be honest, I feel like I give a different answer every time someone asks me this. But I've heard a lot of great things, you know, in my life. And in the other services, I talked about how amazing my mom is, how she's an amazing encourager. So I'm going to give a little shout out to my dad because he's just as amazing. And he was my coach growing up. And we had a lot of interesting moments with him being my coach. We had a lot of interesting moments. But honestly, I wouldn't even be half the woman I am today without him mm-hmm. and his belief in me and just pushing me to be the best. And one thing he would always say to me, and most of the time this was in the context of sports, right? Like trying to get me hyped before a game. He would always say, there are no traffic jams along the extra mile. And I thought that was so
wow.
profound.
That's
I was
rich.
Like, you know what? You're right. Because most people settle for average. Most people are content with mediocrity. And he would always, always, always in my life, like 100% wasn't enough. He expected 110%, right? Like he always expected me to go that extra mile. And it's because he saw more in me. And so he refused to let me settle because he was like, I see more in you. So I'm going to push you to do more, to give more, you know, and to be more. And so in every aspect of my life, it's kind of stuck with me. I'm like, I always want to be someone who's remembered by going the extra mile, giving my very best and then some.
Wow.
So good. Would y'all please give it up for Maddie Pruitt. Maddie, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. Y'all are so awesome. And I do just want to say, like, I believe in all of you and I want to make it very clear, like, I am not perfect. I don't have it all figured out. And that's something that you guys live by here. Like, no perfect people allowed. I'm not perfect by any means, but God has done an amazing work in my life, just like he's doing in all of your lives. And I just want to encourage you, like, keep your roots deep and your standards high. And like, God's going to do amazing things that are going to blow your mind. So love you guys. Believe in you. Y'all are awesome.
She's been that great every single service, saying different things. A lot of truth. A lot of wisdom for a 24-year-old. Good night. Look, no one has relationships figured out. But if you can just make progress, I mean, make your relationships your offering to God. We serve this God who created relationships. He's a relational God. The Bible talks about his love for you and how he wants a romance with you. If you don't have that, we can hook you up, by the way. At the end of the service, in just like a couple minutes, there'll be some prayer partners at the edge of the stage. If you don't know for certain and sure that you don't have a religion, but a relationship with the God of heaven, that's why he sent his son. You can nail that down today because, you know, you can't you have to choose a relationship. God gave you that free will. You got to make a choice. Choose Christ today. If you're watching online, there's a number right now on the screen. Just text salvation to that number. Real life person will reach out to you and help you navigate that great decision. And again, as far as the people in my life, I mean, I pray about them. Like, God, please change them. Fix them, Lord, fix them. I mean, challenge you to change that prayer to God. Change me. Fix me. The great Maya Angelou said, if you don't like something, change it. And if you can't change it, change your attitude. That's so rich. Father God, help us to practice excellence in our relationships. It may begin with a foundational relationship, a relationship with Jesus. If there's someone who needs that, Father, give them courage. Give them the willingness, the openness to say yes to Christ today. Father, we make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this week's message. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. To hear more messages like this, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. Don't forget to stay connected with us by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at CBGlades @PastorDHughes.